can't leave it open. You can't. If you do that, you have nothing to defend. You have no boundaries marked to say nothing. You have no red lines. You must have red lines. You must have boundaries of your life to say, no matter what happens, I'm not going to let the flesh guide me. I'm going to live this life of the Spirit that God has graciously given me through Jesus Christ. So that is the beginning of all of this. And if we really have made that something so important to us, then it comes into our prayer. Unfortunately, most of our prayer is about things that perish. And the Bible asks one question. What shall it profit a man to what? Gain the whole world. And it's not counted worthy to escape all these things. So what shall it profit a man? So you see that it becomes very important when we know the importance of all of these things. It's to engage in what Jesus said we should engage and make those things our priority in life. It's more important to God how I live my life than how many cars I have. It's more important to God how I live my life than how many miracles I receive. It's more important to God the life I live than what I live in the bank account. You want to check this Bible, and you need to know that Paul had no wife and no children. But there is nobody living that is having influence over the world like Paul, who had no wife and no children. You want to know that if these things are so important to God, they would have rewarded Paul with aeroplanes and everything. They would have rewarded, but Paul said, no, there's a crown waiting for me, which he that's what I would care about. And remember John the Baptist now, the only child of an old age family. If those things were the things that matter, God would have given John the Baptist four boys, five boys, six boys, at least to compensate gave him nothing. No wife, nothing. I tell somebody, I say, God doesn't look at life the way we look at life. We bother about life. God has his own view about all of this. If these things matter to God, John the Baptist would have been loaded with a wonderful wife and then all boys, 15 boys, one looking like a brother Dave from Ihoma. And then our beloved brother John would have come and given testimony. Say, praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah. Then I served the Lord. He gave me seven boys. God gave him none of those things. And by the way, he didn't even live long. Just in case you don't notice how God. God has his, look, God thinks differently. You see this side of life? It bothers us. Doesn't bother God. Eternity is what is key. The man didn't even live long. This man that Jesus said is a man sent by God didn't live long. In fact, they killed him. And Jesus knew there was going to die and walked away. Kept distance between them. He didn't even go there. He didn't visit him one day in prison. They say, oh, my cousin, I'm so sorry. So this is what... you know, some people who know them will say, If this is the Messiah, why didn't he visit his cousin? He didn't go there. God's ways are not our ways at all. God thinks differently. You must know the things that are important to God and follow them. And leave the things that are not important to you. So the life I live, the life you live, is primary. Takes precedence over all these other things that we pray so much about, and we use them to determine how faithful God is. If I don't have them, then God is not faithful. That's not true. Actually, you are the one that's not faithful, not God. So we have to make living the Spirit life a very key decision. Everything starts with a decision. Everything that's important. If you want to go to school, you say, I'm going to go to what? To school. You can't just leave and there's no decision to go to school. You haven't decided I'm going to go to school. You haven't decided I'm going to study accountancy. You haven't decided I'm going to be a pastor. Well, none of you wants to be. So let me remove that one. Now want to. None of you wants to be. Let me remove that one quickly. Okay, you haven't determined you want to be a businessman. See, every face is now smiling as I thought of business. So everything starts with a decision. Without decision, you have no direction. So the Christian must determine and decide that living the spirit life is what he wants to experience, not living the life of the flesh. When we have that first determination, then the obvious thing is that it shows up in our prayer. It becomes something that we desire. It must show up in our prayer. Because our prayer list shows where our interest is. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 25:28 says that a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. When we don't have boundaries, you say we're like a city with broken down walls. A person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out. Amazing, that is good. No, self-control is something that says, I'm not going there. I'm not doing there. There has to be that thing in our lives that places spiritual things above the carnal. Otherwise, the carnal things are so attractive that it can blind you to think that they are the more important things. And when you don't have them, you stop following God. You stop. And then John the Baptist will look at you and say, I didn't have them either. I didn't have them. But I said to the people, he must increase and I must decrease. I didn't have those things that make you don't come to church again. I didn't have them. So 1 Corinthians 14:1 said to eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love, this life. Eagerly pursue it. Eagerly pursue it. At this translation, King James says, follow after charity. Desire it. Follow after the life of love, which really summarizes the manifestation of the spirit life which we have received, which Jesus manifests through us. So, and then Paul knew that this is the key thing, even in his own life. He said in Romans 1 verse 9, he said in Romans 9, Romans what? 1 verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with what? Church, with what? My spirit. I don't serve God with my flesh. He said, God is my witness. I don't engage my flesh. I engage my spirit in the service of my God. Because the flesh will profit us nothing. And then he went on to say again, writing to the Romans, Romans 7, verse 6. He says, but now we have been delivered from the law. Can I hear amen? Amen? So those of you who want the law, you need to read this verse over and over. I know that God said, you've been delivered from the law. That being dead, wherein we have held, that we should serve in what? Newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. To serve God in the new life, in the spirit life, which is totally different from the life of the flesh, which we inherited from our natural parents. So the Bible calls it newness of life, walking in newness of life. Did I read Romans 6:4? Let's read Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Walk in the spirit life, not in the carnal life that we inherited from our parents. Now, If you are not interested in these things, I want you to hear, please. If you are not interested in the spirit life, the Spirit of God will not give you that revelation at all. It will model up in your mind. You will not understand it. Because he says, I do not give my peers to who? Pigs. They will trample. People who don't call it anything. So why should I bother them? I'll leave them with their religious jingoism. Let them be carrying on all of that. Until it becomes a treasure, then he will not give it to you. He will not that you don't have it, but he will not reveal it to you. He said, I don't give my jewels to pigs. They will trample upon it. Again, let's remember that the life we live trumps every other thing. It trumps every other thing. Jesus said, I came that you have what? And have it what? Some place he said, I came that you have all these worldly things. Yeah, we'll have them. We'll have them because it belongs to us. But he defined, so my blood is to, because of your sins, to set you free. He said, this body, this my blood is given for you to, because of your sins. And he said, I've come also that you have life and have it what? I want to make a statement here. The Lord taught me this one. I never heard this from any human being. He told me, he said, you know, I sent Jesus to give you life and I sent the Holy Spirit to give you power. So I didn't send the Holy Spirit to give you life. I sent him to give you power. That's why you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has what? One point. He said, but when you receive Christ, you receive life. He said, they are not the same. They are not the same. And that's why the scripture says that the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. So we must be interested in this thing. So he receives revelations like this. And Paul was talking about worshiping God in the spirit too. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in what? Did you see the word spirit? I serve God with my spirit, worship God with my spirit, and then I walk in the newness of life. And then he said, God, the new way to serve God is with your spirit, not in the old way of the letters and things like that. Shouldn't I, as a Christian, really want to understand these things very well and make sure that I am also, my testimony will be the same, that I serve God with my spirit and that I live in newness of life? Shouldn't I really want to do that? Should I just be coming to church and going, you know, I they go to church, Sunday morning church. Cheers on the school day, yeah, Sunday school day. But there has to be a purposefulness in this thing. We can't live a purposeless life. It's too costly. Brethren, I'm telling you the truth. We're not here forever. But if you think you're here permanently, you haven't been looking around. We're not here forever. We don't have the luxury of wasting time. I'm not kidding you. I've been passing for a long time. We don't have luxury with us wasting time. We need to make sure that we get it right the first time. We just have to. And so these things become primary. They become primary. They become key. These things we are talking about. They take four positions. So let us now see how praying with all manner of prayers helps us to live a steady life of the Spirit. Remember, we've been talking about life of the Spirit, life of the Spirit, life of the Spirit, not life of the flesh, but life of the Spirit, life of the Spirit. Life of the flesh is what is dictated by human understanding and then human wisdom and then human idea of religion and all those kind of stuff that human beings do. The life of the Spirit is what is dictated and controlled by the Spirit of Christ working through your spirit to bring things to happen, to make things happen, using you as a vessel. Because Jesus is not flesh. Jesus is a spirit. He's here in his spirit, not in the flesh form, but he's as active as he was when he was here on earth. So that life he gave us is a spirit life. That's why the scripture says that the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. It's a life-giving spirit. So this life of the spirit is not the same as the life I live in my, with my flesh before I got born again. It's not the same. And even as a Christian, if I'm not purposefully pursuing to understand these things, I'll be living a carnal life without knowing, thinking that I'm living a spiritual life. No. No. So now let's see what role prayer plays in helping us to live the spirit life and not the carnal fleshly life that we inherited from our parents. First of all, we talk about the prayer of praise, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of what? I didn't hear you. The prayer of what? Thanksgiving. The prayer of praise. So, because the Bible says we should pray with all manner of prayers. Now, let's read that scripture. Okay, we'll come there. We pray with all manner of prayers. Now, if it's not important to engage all manner of prayers, he will not tell us like that. He will not tell us like that. So, which means the Christian must know if all those prayers that the Holy Spirit expects us to pray and to engage in our lives, and know their roles, and know how they are prayed, and understand the different things that guide them, because they are not the same. You are going to see the difference between prayer of praise now and then prayer of commitment. And then one go down to prayer of faith. You will see the difference and see how this one is done and what you don't do in this one. Because if you do this, the same what you do here, it won't work. So the first one we're going to look at is prayer of thanksgiving. Which one is the first one? I want you to be loud. Which is the first one? Prayer of thanksgiving. Now, in Philippians 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write these same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now, to understand that old King James English, can we put it in New Living Translation, please? Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, do what? Rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. Why? And I do it to safeguard your faith. To safeguard your faith. He said, I never get tired of reminding you to always be thankful, grateful, giving thanks, being joyous in the Lord. He said, I will never get tired, because this is one prayer that will safeguard your faith, that will keep your faith from crumbling. And you do know that living the spirit life is essentially living a life of faith. For the just shall live by faith. Now, anything that compromises your faith will shift you to the flesh automatically. Moment your faith is compromised, you cannot live the spirit life. Because the spirit life is lived by faith exclusively. Exclusively. So the moment my faith is compromised by anything at all, I cannot live that life of faith. I switch immediately to doubt and flesh, and then information from what I see, what they talk about, and all this kind of stuff that lead you really smack into the middle of being controlled by your flesh. So to safeguard our faith, the Holy Spirit says to the Christian, you must pray the prayer of thanksgiving always. You must be joyful. You must rejoice in the Lord all the time. Now let's look at Abraham, for instance, who was in a situation that it will be easy to become carnal in that situation. It will be very, very easy for his faith to be compromised, because things were hopelessly hopeless. It will be very easy. It will be a more comfortable thing for his faith to be shattered right there. And then, look at Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. So that the New King James Version, New King James Version, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Continue until 21. Therefore, as it is written, I have made you a what? Father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, note that, not being weak in faith in a situation that is contrary to hope, in a situation that was hopeless. Brethren, it's not because we are reading it now. If it's me or you, God said, I made you a father of many nations. And instead of the child is not coming immediately. 5 years goes. Are you telling me we won't begin to doubt it? So when the Holy Spirit put this man here for the church to look at, there's a reason for that. And he told us that it was a totally hopeless situation. So his faith could have been compromised very easily because of circumstances, hopelessness of the whole thing. How does a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old man talk of it? They say God deceived us. Oh, it's not working. And then you shift into the flesh immediately. And you miss God by 100 miles. But not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about how many years old? 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. Prayer of praise, thanksgiving, safeguards your faith. Giving glory to God. So instead of murmuring, complaining, finding fault with God, he was giving glory to God in a circumstance that was hopeless. Just because God said, I've given you this. He didn't see it. It didn't look like it would happen. Everything was going south continuously. But that man was giving glory to God. He kept his faith going. So when the Holy Spirit said to us, pray this prayer of praise, be joyful always, it will safeguard your faith. You can begin to see why. That on purpose, in the midst, when things get south like this, then you say, I'm going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving to safeguard my faith. To safeguard my faith. Otherwise, the whole thing can overwhelm you, knock out your faith, and make you say things that the devil will be glad you said because he will perform them. The Bible calls it sacrifice of praise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. By him, therefore, that's through Jesus Christ. Let us offer, okay, I'll read this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How? Church, how? Continually. Not sometimes. Not when things are good. No, continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Continually. No matter what. What? Continually. To safeguard your faith, we must learn these things. That there are certain circumstances, if you don't do this, your mind will focus on the negativity and crush you totally. Ruin your faith completely and make it look you can backslide. But in the midst of that, you lift up your hand and begin to praise God. You are safeguarding your faith because you will see the glory of God. Now, you know, I don't know if you know the disappointment we get when close friends disappoint us, especially when they betray our trust. Paul faced that. Our Lord Jesus faced that. He knew that this is disciples that he had trained for 3 solid years, who had seen all manner of miracles and things, that they were going to deny him, they were going to run away from him. He knew that. He knew. He's not telling him anything, he knew. And he knew what was coming was a vicious attack of the most wicked being called the devil. That the devil will unleash all the viciousness on him. He knew all of that. But you know what he did? You know what he did? He sang a hymn. He faced it with praise. He didn't go there, you know, saying, oh my God, I will look at Judas, look at this one. And in his mind, he said, after everything I did for them, I can't believe these people will do this to me. Okay, but God, you know everything. That's all. He didn't do that. He gave thanks. Can I hear amen? He gave what? Thanks. He sang a hymn. And we're going to look at that in Mark chapter 14, verse 20. Mark chapter 14, verse 26. Sorry. 14, verse 26. And when they had what? When they had what? Did this call for singing? How does it call for singing? When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount Olives. Look at the next verse. And Jesus said unto them, all of you shall be what? Offended because of me. You are going to find fault with me. Today, I'm going to be an anathema to you. You'll be offended. You blame me for everything. You run away from me. Because of me. This night. Not tomorrow. This night. But he was singing a hymn. Why do you get the mind to sing a hymn when you know these things are coming? When he sang a hymn, showing us example. Safeguard your faith with prayer of thanksgiving. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are following me, say amen. There's always a lot of opportunity in life to murmur and grumble. But don't take it. When that opportunity comes, pass it. Let it go. Take the one God gave you. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Now, you know, Paul came to Philippi, where he was preaching the gospel, and then a lot of things happened, wonderful things happened, but the Jews were following him around and raising trouble for him. And then, you know, there was this false prophet that was telling people visions, and, you know, those visions were correct. If it wasn't correct, they wouldn't be coming. So they called him the power of God. They said, this man, this is amazing. But he was working for some people who were making money out of her. And so when Paul came, he said to them, he said, these are the servants of the Most High God who are showing us the way of salvation. Did you see what the devil was trying to do? To confuse them. So they would think that this woman and Paul, they were doing the same thing. That's what the devil does. After now, they are calling Jesus out of God. It's not true. You better be careful what you are doing. So now, when Paul cast out that devil and the woman could not perform again, couldn't see vision again, couldn't tell them anything, the owners of the thing, they got together and began to accuse Paul of preaching whatever. They dragged him to the courthouse, and then they imprisoned Paul as a result of that. They put him in jail, Paul and Silas. And while they were in jail, I want you to tell me one thing they did that would warrant their being in jail. Did they do anything? Huh? So if you were there, and this church sent you, and they beat you up, put you in jail, will you murmur? Huh? You will murmur, no? Complain. And decide that I'm not serving God again. This is too much. But, brethren, that's why I said, We must on purpose determine the type of life we want to live. Don't leave these things to vagaries and let circumstances just push you around. No. You must have boundaries and say, I'm not going to let the flesh guide me, control me. Because if the flesh does, it will lead you to death. It will detach you from God very easily. It will ruin your faith. You will be among the statistics of those whose love has waxed what? Cold. You don't want that. You don't want that. I'm telling you. You don't want that. So what did Paul and Silas do in that circumstance? In Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Around midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying and singing hymns. What did Jesus do? He sang. What is Paul and Silas? What are they doing here? Praying and singing hymns. And they were not singing it low. And the other prisoners were listening. You know, when we came here, I don't know if you heard this story. You know, there's a woman that used to harass us, one Muslim woman, that called police for us at 170. When we came here, the son told one of the workers here, he said, where did that church go? He said, we're missing them all. Ah, he said, there are songs we used to listen to. He told him, he said, we used to have Mother's Day, Father's Day, Youth Sunday. He said, watch night service. He said, that watch night service, amazing. Did you know they were listening? So when we left now, he came and said, we should come back. As the same person that called police for us all the time. All the time. The woman made trouble for us. Now the son is saying we should come back. He said, the place is so quiet that everybody is saying, why did we leave? So they heard us while we were singing. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I told Obika them something, a testimony that blessed me. Somebody that came to this our school. They said they went there. And they told that we can't take you, but if you go there, they will take you. The reason is because the person needed the compassion. He said, those people will take you. We can't. They will. People know who we are. They know how people are. They know us very well. They know everybody. So here they were singing. They were not singing quietly. They were singing, really, really praising God. That is called praise and worship. Real, genuine one in the midst of the heat of trouble. Your voice rises up in praise and says, I know in whom I believe. You are still worthy of praises. You are still worthy of thanksgiving. You are who you are. Not because of this. Not because of that. Not because of this. Because you are God. You are. You are. You are. You are. Even if I don't have this, you are God. If I have it, you are God. I don't have it, you are God. If, take it, you are still God. And because you are God, I worship you in the morning, the afternoon, in the night. That's called faith. That's what safeguards your faith from being torn apart by the attack of the enemy, different vicious attack of the enemy on the Christian. Some of them are so vicious, I'm telling you. Because the Bible says he has come on earth with fury. Because his days are, when the scripture says something, don't joke, it's true. And watch the whole world, what is happening now. Things that if they told you 10 years ago will happen, you will not believe it. There's no way you will believe that any adult, a mother will take a child who is 6 years old and tell them, take this child and say, cut off her penis and make him a girl. Irreversible. And the court will approve it. Things that we see, if somebody told you something, you know, if somebody told you some of the things happening today, you will not believe it. Go to the schools where you send their children and see what they are teaching by force. And the Bible said that these things, Jesus said they will come to pass. That in the last days, men will be blaspheming. They will be covenant what? Breakers. See, they'll be haters of God. Haters of God. There's freedom of speech in this country until you call Jesus. Then you know whether there's freedom of speech or not. By the way, praise God. I've signed a new decree today by a president authorizing prayers in schools today. Yeah. It authorized prayers in school, that children can pray in schools. The Supreme Court said schools cannot organize the prayer. So they went further and said, even if you are eating and pray, they disciplined you. Now I say no. Students can pray on their own. You can gather together and pray, provided the school didn't organize it, but students are allowed to pray. Isn't it something? If you are not excited, I'm not sure what you're excited. I mean, this is something that our children can now, if you want to pray, nobody can stop. So you can, you know, they will fire a coach for praying before a game. No more, they can't do it anymore. They just signed it today. I follow Christian news. You people follow political news. I don't want political news. What I follow is Christian news. The one that affects me directly is Christian news. Because that's the kingdom where I belong. The things of God should interest every Christian. Leave politics alone. Let me tell you something. What the Lord told me. He said to me, he said, every tree not planted by me will be uprooted. He said, don't bother yourself. He said, every tree not planted by the Lord will be what? Uprooted. He said, don't worry about all this. We should be interested in the news that concerns the kingdom. Can you imagine something like this should excite you? When you can't pray, in fact, they said, this is too good, though, that they said they sacked God from the public domain. They said they want to bring God back into the schools, into the public domain, that God must come into America again. Such a statement, I haven't heard it since I came to this school. Being broadcast. If this is not God, I want you to tell me who is doing this. And it's because people are praying. So we need to understand why there's a lot of attack the enemy will unleash on the Christian. If he doesn't get you directly, it tries your children. If you don't get your children, it tries this. If you don't get this, it tries your, you go to your job, you didn't do anything. They're harassing you for just making you miserable in the blessing God gave you. So that you won't enjoy it, but you will enjoy it too. You know how you enjoy it? Prayer of thanks. I'm telling you, if you are serious with the Lord, the Bible said every man who wants to walk righteously will be persecuted. And that's absolutely true. And then we think it's strange when we fall into diverse things. The Bible said, no, don't count it strange. It's normal. So Paul and Silas fell into that kind of thing. At midnight, there's always midnight in our lives. Brethren, lift up your hands in those hours and disappoint the devil. Give him heartache because he doesn't want you to praise God. That's what he told Job. Curse God and die. Stop praising him. Job said, even if he kills me, I will yet what? Praise him. I will praise him. That's what we are teaching this evening by the Spirit of the Lord, that the Christian must know the value of praying all prayers. And the prayer of praise is important so that when things look bad, things are not bad. Oh, my God, you didn't hear me. You know what the Lord told me on Monday, he said to me, he said, never underrate my faithfulness. I'm not kidding you. He said, never underrate my what? Faithfulness. So I'm telling you, I'm faithful. Tell your neighbor, God is faithful. Is that how you say it? So the scripture says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit by murmuring and grumbling. Don't. And then in Ephesians 5, 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, speaking to who? Speaking to who, church? I didn't hear you. Speaking to who? He said, talk to yourself in the midst of all these things. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Speak to yourself. This is not a church issue. This is yourself. He said, talk to yourself. When the heat is on and things are like that, he said, speak to yourself. Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? To the Lord. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth for all generations. If you believe, shout hallelujah. He didn't say go look for your neighbor and complain. We're always looking for sympathy and somebody will come and empathize with. What are you doing without that junk? What are you doing? The Holy Spirit says, speak to yourself. Talk to yourself and say, my heart, why are you cast down? Come on, rise up. It's time to worship the Lord. Are you kidding me? This God has been good to me. He's merciful. Can I count on his goodness? Before you know it, you're in the mood of praise. He says, speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. Don't wait for your wife to come and say, honey, are you still feeling okay? Come, let me rub your back. Stop all of that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear. Look, I don't hang out with people who do that. Because evil communication, yeah. Give me some faith, man. I want to hang out with people who have rugged, unflinching confidence in Jesus. You are my brother. I want to follow you because I want to learn from you. But you see all this, I don't want to talk about it. Doesn't help at all. Massaging you. He didn't see me. Why didn't he see? Why should he see you? The Bible says, speak to yourself, my friend. He didn't say look for. He says, speak. Open your mouth. Talk to yourself. And say, hey, what are you doing? Do you understand who God is? Where did this thought come from? Devil, you're a liar. Out you go. I lift up my hands to you. It's not only when they play music here. No. Just talk to yourself. So you safeguard your faith. Because the enemy is always attacking our faith. Because he knows by faith we stand. If that faith is compromised, we compromise our life. Are you following me? Then we enter his courts with what? We enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his court with praises. I be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's Psalm 100, verse 4. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. And remember that when we praise God, it unleashes great power too. Because God is fearful in praises. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He put up a choir and they began to praise God and God unleashed his power. So when you're down, praise God and power will be, God will unleash his power. Will stir up that living water in you. Thing will come up. Surge up like that. And the Lord will start talking to you. Nobody comforts more than Jesus does. He's the comforter. He's the spirit of comfort. If you are in any situation and you do what he said, he will rise up and start talking to you. He will show you things you don't. He will explain mysteries to you, tell you why this is, tell you not to bother about this one. Tell you about this. And once he talks to you, you are calm. His comforting is not like the, his comfort is not to come and say, it's okay. No. He'll give you revelation that you understand, faith will rise. Faith comes by hearing him. He'll give you revelation and understanding. Put it in perspective for you properly. So you, like he said to me, he said, don't underrate my faithfulness. I said, Lord, yeah, you're right. You're right. And remember that the flesh will always murmur and complain. And brethren, before we talk of the flesh and what it does in complaining, I want you to know that it's waste of time, waste of precious time, looking for empathy and all those stuff. Can we just do what the Holy Spirit said? It's just waste of time sitting up there and brooding over losses and brooding over this. The Bible says it's plain waste of time because you are opening the door for the enemy to finish the remaining faith you have. It's a total waste of time. Psalm 127, verse 2. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to what? You rise up early, 4 a.m., you are up. And you sit up what? Late. And what are you doing? To eat the bread of sorrows. He said, it is vain. It has no spiritual profit, except that you lose the more. For he giveth his beloved sleep, you should be resting. Brethren, you see, we human beings, we like to be massaged. You know, nobody knows what I'm passing. Lord, you know what I'm passing. You know what I'm passing. In fact, all these things happening to me. Lord, you know. God said, yeah, I know. But I told you what to do. Give thanks. If you hear me, you do what I told you. I know. But what I told you to do is to what? Give thanks. And to talk to yourselves in psalms and songs. I didn't tell you to brood there and sit there and say, yeah, I'm looking for empathy. You know. What are you doing with empathy? Tell me what you do. The Bible says it is vain. Can you give us another translation? Remove King James. It's the old one. It is what? Useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late night, anxiously walking. Oh, this one talks, thinks it's food. I'm talking of food, my friend. Remove that thing. Put put another one. Put another. Okay. It is vain. You rise early and stay up late. Talk with this one, they think it's food. You know these people that translate the Bible, sometimes they translate it literally because they don't understand what the Spirit is talking about. Can you put a New King James? Let me see. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up early, to eat the bread of sorrows. This is not food he's talking about. He's talking about sorrows. He's talking about sorrows. Because they saw bread, so they think it's working. No, no, no. He said, you eat sorrow like bread. Chop it from who rises up? This is sorrow. Eating it like food. He said he gives his beloved sleep. So it's not talking about work. It's talking about eating sorrow like bread. And nobody knows what I'm passing through. I wish they know what I'm passing through. They will leave me alone. Even the way they are talking to me, if you know what is bothering me, you just leave me. My friend, that's not what God said to you. I'm not saying we should comfort people. It's normal. The Bible says we should sorrow with those that, it's normal. But we shouldn't sorrow like the heathens who have no hope. Our sorrow will be a different type of sorrow. It's to come and say, my brother, it's okay. The Lord is on the throne. When they say there's a casting down, when you show up, you say there's what? Lift. You make a difference. You don't go there. People are murmuring and complaining about your church, and you join them. You're a leader. What kind of leader are you? You should teach them. Don't murmur, my friends, to finish your life. That's why you're a leader. You should be the one correcting them. I said, because you are grown spiritually to know that. There's no perfect organization. Are you perfect? If you are not perfect, why do you expect perfection from another person? That's injustice. You should rise above the mundane things, rise above the noise and go into glory. Sit with Christ where he seated, in a place of glory, where you bring, be his voice. Voice. That's living the spirit life, not carnal flesh life, speaking for the flesh. Anybody speak, let him speak like oracle of God. You open your mouth, you speak faith, you speak, you glorify God, you declare that God is still God, my friend. What are you telling me? I know my Redeemer liveth. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. Therefore, none of these things of me. Neither do I count myself so that I can finish this thing so my faith is not destroyed. That's the life of the Spirit that we're talking about. So, and look at what murmuring does. Murmuring, 1 Corinthians 10:10. And don't grumble as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. Don't grumble. Is there any grumbler here? Any murmurer? So they're not here. So let's not read it then. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10:10. Now complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. He said, why are they writing it? It tells you why. go to verse 11, see why they're writing it. Now, all these things happened to them as what? Examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of these ages have come. He said this was written to warn you not to do that thing, because you are inviting demons into your life. When you murmur and say these things, you empower the devil. You empower him. You open the door for him. We shouldn't do that. We should rather, that's why the Bible said, in all things, instead of murmuring, do what? Give thanks. Now, quickly, follow that is the prayer of commitment. Falling close to the prayer of praise is the prayer of commitment. What is the prayer of commitment? The prayer of casting your burdens upon the Lord. And the reason it's very close to the prayer of praise is that if you carry these burdens, they can crush you and knock out your faith. They can ruin your faith. You become a wishy-washy Christian. And all you dwell upon is all those burdens of life, and all those burdens of life, they'll crush you and destroy you. And sometimes cause you physical harm, cause you sickness, high blood pressure, diabetes, eating disorders, and all those kind of things. Unstable emotion, and all of them. If you carry them. Because God did not create us to carry burdens. We know he says carry one another's burden. But what he's talking about is sharing in love, forgiving people, forgiving them. Forgiving them. He said thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Restoring people in love. That's what he's talking about. Sharing. If somebody falls away, don't go and be an accuser there. Go and be a restorer and a helper. Bearing his burden. The burden of his falling away will help him to come back. So talking about. But God didn't create us to carry the burdens of life. If you carry it, you're giving the devil, you built an airport for him, he will land with Boeing 747 and add more. You will sleep, you have butterflies. Oh my God, you bother, how would this happen? How that one happen? I don't know. And then the devil say, how about that? Oh yeah, hey, I don't know how this one will happen. Who gave you that task? So if you carry that now, you can't live the spirit life. Because your flesh will take over and give you butterflies until you can't. And truthfully, you can't solve them. You don't know what to do. So is it not for you to simply carry your burdens and cast it upon who? Upon the Lord. And rest. I think I'll continue from here next Thursday. Did you get anything? If you got something, shout hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for what you've shared with us tonight, the prayer of thanksgiving. You told us to pray with all prayers. All we know about is asking for things. We never really think that prayer of praise amounts to much, and we don't usually pray it. But this evening, you are showing us the importance of praying with all prayers. That this prayer has a place to safeguard our faith, to counteract all the attacks, the things that attack our emotions, the things the enemy tries to use to dislodge our confidence in you. Father, I pray that you help us to go and be doers of the word. That instead of murmuring and complaining, we should speak to ourselves in songs, in spiritual songs, in hymns. We should lift up our hands and worship you in the closet. We will thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your faithfulness. We will declare that you are God. Like Paul, we can say we know in whom we have believed. And like Job, we can say we know that our Redeemer liveth, no matter what. And like Abraham, we can give thanks in the midst of hopelessness. These things will safeguard our feet. Thank you for pointing these things out to us, because those are the things that if we do, then we'll get the result, because the flesh doesn't want us to do that. The flesh will walk after the eyes, after human wisdom, all what people say, the way we see life, and yet we know nothing about life. We know in short, absolutely nothing much. But you know everything. And in the midst of that, you've told us that in all of this things, you give me thanks. I pray, Lord, that we'll understand this thing and go home and be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, so let's take our offerings. Our offerings. If you need the envelope, we'll give you. Do you have the announcement? Is there a program this Friday? No, council meeting is canceled. No, we don't have council meeting. Okay, evangelism Saturday by 3 p.m., yeah? But if you're a council member, we are not holding council meeting on Friday. Is there any, okay, so you're only Saturday, right? The Sunday service is normal time, 9 o'clock for worship service. Sunday school is 9:30.